A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association.
News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for podcasts of this radio show, ephistory.com. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week with great Mexican food. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are you ready? Are you ready? I think I'm ready. Let's go ahead and start hour two, shall we? It's the El Paso History Show. We have an El Paso History moment. And it's produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. That's a lot of people to worry about. But don't worry about it, because our history moment today is about an early El Paso newspaper.
All the news fit or not fit to be printed. In 1868, El Pasoan Captain Albert French, a famous Indian fighter, told his friends of his dissatisfaction of the current news offerings available in El Paso. So French decides to publish his own newspaper, and he calls it the El Paso Montezuma Weekly Times. It was a small handwritten paper with only 4 pages, and the masthead of the paper stated it would accept any article, no matter how abusive. There was even one issue that printed a bawdy song entitled, "I Met Her in a Hog Pen." Needless to say, French's newspaper soon folded due to lack of interest. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
Got to wonder how that marriage turned out.
I can't figure out why they didn't find any interest. I mean, she was born
in a hog farm.
Pen.
That
sounds more interesting than some paper I read today.
Some of the stuff out of context, we don't know what they were thinking or doing.
He took it into his own hands. He hand-wrote the newspaper. I guess he got, writer's cramp,
After your third customer, your hand hurts. Okay, what was this all about? This is stuff you do for the History Alliance.
Yes, I do. I do this for the History Alliance and for all those wonderful people that are out there on the History Alliance, which is now got to be over 50,000 followers on their Facebook page. And, if you're interested in that, you can call Bernie Sargent.
Call
at
him what?
Home. We won't go into that.
Call him what you're going to call him.
Those are my pet names.
Oh, what's
for
his
him.
Number? Oh, I said phone number. Yeah, yeah.
You can call him at home later today at 915-581-7920. And we've also got to mention other people that are involved in history. And one of those is Barbara Given Bainey.
Bainey!
She's the operator of the great Facebook page called Remember in El Paso When. And you can go there for archive pictures galore. But please remember, these administrators have worked very hard to researching these photos and with the history attached. And please, give them credit when you're using the information.
They've got a lot of people working for them now. I think they're in good shape. Another administrator down there is Jim Carlton.
Yeah.
And the moderators are Ken Weiss, Richard Inger, and Art Garcia. So thanks, Barbara, for what you do.
Busy, busy, busy.
And see, they don't get a lot of help or money or nothing. They get no money.
Well, they're kind of like a newspaper in their own sense. They're printing up old newspaper stories and archives and such. So.
And I guess their paycheck is that we mentioned them on the radio. It's kind of like our paycheck, too.
That's right.
Hey, life in the fast lane.
Yeah.
Hey, but, we still got these guys sitting here. Bernie's, are you still here, Bernie?
Oh, yes.
Bernie's here. Okay, Bernie ain't going anywhere.
I was reminiscing on our trip last week.
John Mitta was here. Okay, now where'd you go? What?
We went to...
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I get it off my mind. How about Peacock, Texas? You mentioned where you went down San Antonio way or something.
Mm-hmm. Peacock?
I was in Peacock, Texas, population 16.
And you I missed that one.
Yeah.
We got to go back.
You're admitting this?
Yeah, well, no. This is...
Oh, there's some great little towns. I love looking at the map of these little towns.
No, I interrupted. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. No, we went to Castroville for the Texas Historical Foundation quarterly meeting. Great group of people, wonderful community, as Melissa alluded to earlier this morning. But then from there, we went to Beeville, then over to Goliad.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'd never been to Goliad.
I'd heard of that one.
Oh, great history.
Oh.
And in fact, we have a tie, I should say a link to Goliad in a way. We have a little community called Zaragoza, just on the southeast portion of Juarez.
Well, A to Z, that's the Zaragoza is the Z.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
named after a gentleman by the name of Ignacio Zaragoza Seguin.
Okay.
Okay.
And the other Seguin part is?
The other Seguin was his cousin,
okay,
who was very distinguished in working and fighting with the Texians against the Santana.
Let me guess. He's got a town named after him.
It does, yes.
Oh, what a guess.
But Zaragoza's interesting tie is that he was born just outside of the Presidio de Bahia del Espíritu.
Santo Espíritu.
Is this important?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Well, we have a tie.
Okay,
we have a link.
Okay.
You know, and I love links to other communities.
Okay.
Okay.
Link them up.
And the fact that he was also the commanding general in Puebla when they defeated the French on May 5th.
Oh,
Cinco de Mayo. Raise a beer.
There you go.
Cinco de Seguin.
So it was fascinating because his little house that he was born in, he was only lived there 6 years, was just on the outside of the Presidio at La Bahia, which became Goliad.
All these things are important.
Oh, yeah.
Of course,
I mean, it's amazing. But to see this link up with a Texian that created Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
Well, Gonzalez, is the cannon there in Gonzalez that we hear about?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can we fire it?
I wouldn't try. Well, they do have a cannon there, but it's a mock-up of one of the original cannons from Goliad with the fan.
Just so it makes a big noise. I mean,
it does. Yeah.
I came for the big noise.
And I want to tell you, they know how to display their history down there.
What do they do?
It's really great.
Yeah. Well, tell me about it.
It was so great to go to the missions down there. Their missions are unique. The mission at where Fannin was killed. Oh my gosh.
La Bahia.
That is all taken care of by the Diocese of Victoria, Texas. No state funding.
And it's wonderful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they take
care
of
it. How does it compare to like the Socorro mission here?
I mean, our missions are really great. But this area is taken care of so well by the community and the diocese.
Well, you mean they cut the grass? What are you saying?
Oh, they cut the grass. It's beautiful.
Do they have parking?
They have restaurants.
They have hotels.
Lighting. Well, no hotels. You're pretty well out.
Well, you have to go into Goliad.
Yeah, you have to go into Goliad. But it is just so well taken care of. They have people working there. They have a gift shop. They have interpretive center. I don't know how to describe it, but just it's so amazing the way it's taken care of by the diocese. And it's all done on donations, the entrance fees, and donations for people come in and things that are sold from the gift shop.
Well, our diocese owns all three of these missions.
Yeah.
Is that what we have?
The Presidio Chapel.
We got two missions in the Presidio Chapel.
And, yeah. And we can't touch it.
How do we get a handle on this?
Well, there is work being done to reach out to the diocese. They are getting more involved than they had in the past. And I know that there's folks that are really pushing hard down in the Mission Valley area to bring the surrounding area to the missions and the Presidio up to where it really is a welcoming location. And it's gotten a lot better even in the 30-plus years we've lived here.
That's true. I will say that.
Yeah. They've done a lot. And they've done some restoration work at Socorro and Isleta, and they're working on San Elizario now.
You sent us off into Central Texas.
Another,
let's come back to El Paso with the newspapers.
The question I have is, as you're mentioning down south, we have a conglomeration, don't we, of missions?
Yep.
Like three, whereas are they that many? We have three or four or more in the same right here in El Paso.
And you want to know how many they have?
Yeah, or are they more spread out down there?
Well, they've got the mission in the Presidio there at Goliad, but then they have a lot of missions down all the way into San Antonio.
Are they like the standard 20 miles apart or whatever it was? That's
In some instances, a little bit further.
A horse could go in
and
a day.
Some of them moved, like we've had issues. They moved them for reasons and whatever. So
now, these missions, the two here, Socorro and Isleta, were established for Indian tribes. What about those over there?
Yes.
Indian tribes?
Yes.
Tribes or military. They had to move them for different reasons.
Yeah, okay. And
going back to the Spanish times?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Yeah. Actually, going back to the French. Huh. And because La Bahia originally was right on the coast, and they moved it three times. And again, the Spanish came in and beat the French out, and then the Mexicans took over, and then the Texians took over.
And you're talking where now in the Goliad area?
Matagorda is where they started, and they ended up in Goliad.
Somebody get in a car and drive back to El Paso.
But right. The whole point is...
tell us El Paso stories.
It's great that they share their history the way they do. I wish we were just a little bit more organized and shared ours the same way.
Texas is doing more and more about that, I think, because here I mentioned Peacock, Texas, and... went to San Antonio, and they've got a beautiful Texas Frontier Museum. I mean, I want to go back.
Who sponsored that?
Okay. Good question. No, private individuals.
Okay.
Yes, see, as a result of one man.
That's what we need in El Paso is some of these history people, billionaires, millionaires. Come look at the history here. Mm-hmm. Come support a brand new museum you made up and put your name on. I don't care. Just so long as the history's right.
And if I could just, going back to local, if I could just say one thing. We were promoting the heck out of the fact that this program broadcasts on iHeartMedia.
Right.
And the gal that who is from Kansas that works at the store there at La Bahia or Goliad, we told her about it. And she goes, I will try to listen to it. So we're trying to spread the word that Texas history begins here, and you can hear it anywhere in Texas.
So we've done that. We just got to keep talking.
Anywhere in the world.
So be it. So now, are you worried about trivia right now, by the way? Are you covering trivia questions here?
We already covered them, but I think people remember them.
You all set?
Yeah.
I mean, but you're going to have two questions coming up in about 5 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. But the history of El Paso's newspapers is what we said we're doing today.
Yeah.
We're kind of doing that.
Well, let me throw this back at John, because he brings up some interesting names that were authors, newspaper writers, reporters, editors, publishers. Going back in the day. And, you know, John, you might want to touch on a few of those and tell us a little bit about them.
Well, you know, names that you don't hear anymore. And I mentioned Marshall Hale. He was the editorial writer for the Herald.
Marshall also wrote most of he covered the missing Pattersons. That's why I remember that name. Most of the articles that I got out of UTEP's files had his byline on them.
And
Nancy Hamilton worked under him.
What a wonderful
and Nancy
lady.
Hamilton learned a lot from him. She told me.
Gosh, she was a wealth of information.
Oh, yeah. And she was one of the few people, women, who was in the Pioneer Association.
Yes.
And a reporter for the Herald Post and the Times.
And she was quite a collector of retablos that are down at the downtown
That's
museum.
True. Okay, throw some other names from history
out. Well, and of course, Tom Lee, we hear about him all the time,
right.
and rightfully so. But then Cisneros, my father wrote a wonderful book that some of the learned minds in town still consider to be one of the best reference books.
On Jose?
The El Paso Times.
No, but on Jose Cisneros?
He illustrated the book.
Yes,
because he was an illustrator, right. sought out illustrator.
Did he ever do a newspaper gig like Nacho Garcia did? He should have. I mean, Cisneros could have done it.
He
was a very quiet man, I believe.
Oh, yeah, right. I interviewed him once, and it was hard to get him to talk.
Yeah. And then, of course, Herzog.
Carl
you
Herzog.
Know, yes. That, and then Dr. Timmons. He's got a wonderful easy-read book out on the whole history of El Paso.
And then, was it John White? Is it White back in that?
Owen White.
There you go.
Owen White.
And he did some big stuff.
Well, he's considered one of the best references and noted people.
Well, he's one of the
history.
First people who wrote books in the other into Texas said, that's not true. You can't have all that history out in El Paso, and we do.
Well, and then we can't go anywhere without saying something about Dr. Sonicson.
Right.
You know, he and his Pass to the North book. And then Dale Walker, a student of my father's, who wrote several books. But my favorite story is in visiting with him before he passed. He said, he's through with books. He got into short stories and wrote over 2,000 short stories.
The guy talking is John Middaugh, by the way. Keep going.
And then they weren't in journalism, but don't want to forget their names. Hawley Richardson. He was Richard White's public public relations, which was related
to
journalism.
Jack DeVore also went and worked for White.
Yeah.
Was he also in part of your dad's thing? He may not have been because he was local Channel 9. Conrad Bryson worked for Richard White for a while back in the day.
Right.
Keep going.
Oh, no. Lucky Leverett is just a Lucky Leverett worked. He was in public relations with the electric company, I think. And then John McFall was with the gas company. You all remember how important journalism and public relations was with the gas company in El Paso.
I got one for you, Cleophas Careos.
Wow.
He was a guy, he worked for one of the newspapers, but he also was the secretary for the diocese on the project known as Mount Cristo Rey, which is why Mount Cristo Rey got well-documented, pictures, stories, he did it all. And he was a journalist, but that's what he did when he wanted to do a story.
Could you imagine any of these authors, journalists, writers, whatever you want to refer to them as, with access to information like we have today?
Oh, they would be just so politely dangerous in a good way.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm constantly just reading things, and then I've read books by different authors, and I go, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like anything like it was reported back in the day, and I'm looking at the report, It's interesting to see that stuff because it just it fosters more ideas and more thoughts and maybe how do we address these things. We're working right now on a rewrite of Engelbrook's book on the Trost.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of updates that we need to come up with that we have found since that was written 15, 20 years
and
ago.
And that's with your hat on as the president of the
Trost Society.
Trost Society.
Yeah.
You got a lot of hats over there, Bernie.
Who built a Falls House on Arizona Street?
A.B. Falls House?
Yeah.
Maybe
design. It wasn't Trost.
I don't think Trost did that
okay.
one, no.
That's an interesting building because you can see that from the freeway as you're driving around. Well, what's that big thing over there? Oh, that's A.B. Falls Mansion.
Yeah, my wife and I stopped by there just the other day to make sure it was still there.
Did you go in?
You can. We did not. But you can knock on the door. The Texas Tech
got it for a dollar a year or something.
Yeah.
After they spent almost $1 million in litigation and buying it from Abraham and fixing it up.
Several million dollars total.
Total.
But there is a sign on the door saying that you can ring the doorbell and I presume be, which I look forward to doing.
What if that turned into a museum? Wouldn't that be great use of that space for a dollar a year?
If somebody really wanted to solicit the help of the Bar Association, that would make a great legal museum.
Oh my gosh.
There's so many things we could do with something like that besides give it away. I mean, nonprofits are good, but I mean, that's history. You should put history in there. That's why these people aren't thinking correctly in this town. They need to think of history as a lead for future tourism.
Sure.
And they don't even think of it. They think, it's in the way of my new building.
Well, 3%.
Whatever my new building, not just the one down in controversy now, but any new building.
Yeah, I think they took half of the 3% per year that goes to public art and put it towards heritage, culture, and history, we'd be a lot better off.
But they're not even doing that. They're taking that for the ballpark, right?
No, that's not. They're going other projects.
Okay. But,
yeah, well, unfortunately.
The point is they could do a lot. This town could promote a lot more history if they just gave it a shot.
We beat that horse.
And we have so much history. Nobody, look how much we have.
I know.
That freaks me out. All right,
the horse can't whinny no more.
Well, that's part of what we're trying to do.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. Joe Nebhan and myself are on that on the board of directors for the Texas Historical Foundation, and we are working our butts off to make sure they understand that there's a heck of a lot to brag on with regards to El Paso and West Texas.
And it would be nice if our city leaders and community leaders went with us on that, but we're going to go anyway.
You brought up to them about the Von Ripper. Remember we had John Williams
mural.
And his wife.
Hamilton,
Hamilton. Yeah, we brought that up to them, and they were like, wow, this is pretty impressive. You know?
There's stuff all over this town. If we would just focus on our history, we could all just kind of relax and live off of tourism.
Yeah.
We could, but we're not. So therefore, take a break and do that with a trivia. What's the question?
Oh, the trivia.
What happened to our – are we talking here still?
I'm too busy with this important stuff. Okay. No. Okay. This is going to change this one around. Okay. There were two papers that were started in 1881, but which one was first, the El Paso Times or the El Paso Herald?
Oh.
It was kind of a twisty one there.
You have a real answer?
Yeah, I do.
John, is there a real answer?
Yeah, there is.
John Middaugh.
It's kind of like a 50-50 question. So, yeah. But,
so the first guy doesn't get it, the second guy will.
That's right. So you can win on that one real easily. And then let's see. I'll play with this one. Okay. He was an editor, correct? Marshall Hale? Editorial.
I know he was a writer.
Writer.
He was.
Marshall Hale covered what famous missing persons story?
Oh, give me a break.
I know that one. You're talking nauseam. Okay.
But you're just trying to give this stuff away for free. What happened to her microphone? What anybody's
mind? Everybody's going, there we are. Okay.
She's back. You'll never know.
Marshall Hale, the writer, covered what famous missing person case? You got to name that one.
Okay, so. I know what that one is.
So call us. That's for $20 at Amigos.
And Amigos is a great place. You got to get down
go
there.
Go see the Amigo Man.
Mr. Amigo Man is just sitting there serving tacos. Mm-hmm. But also, when you go in there, do you know they have chocolate flan? Ah, you didn't know that.
Yeah.
Roll into Amigos on Montana Street and ask for chocolate flan.
That's the Amigo Man.
Amigo Man.
Chocolate flan.
Okay, great place. And also, there's all kinds of interesting things. Go ask Cookie to tell you about philosophy. I made that mistake. You know, you'll get a lecture. But no, he's a good guy.
While you're eating your chocolate flan.
Well, chocolate flan is good.
And then also, don't forget, go to Site Southwest.
No.
Sorry, that's the name of it.
Mission Del Rey
Southwest.
Now, are they down in Matamoros or wherever the heck too? No, they're not.
No, but they bring things up from that area.
No, these are the guys you need to talk about because they got the good stuff and the curios.
The pan for gold.
And the good jewelry.
Think about it
in those terms.
And wonderful artifacts.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Shall we do that?
Yes. Call
us up for this trivia stuff.
Yes, at 915 544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Great Mexican food, steaks, chicken, and salads with draft beer and margaritas by the pitcher at Amigos Full Bar. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry, we're cooking at Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Root Insurance could save you up to 52% on your car insurance. Here's how it works. Root uses an app to base rates primarily on how you drive. Since we don't insure bad drivers, you don't have to pay for their accidents. We designed car insurance entirely around your smartphone. Just download the Root app and drive around for a few weeks. The app measures your driving behavior, so good drivers could get the rate they deserve. And with Root, you have everything you need, right at your fingertips, from your policy to claims to repairs. Root proves that big coverage can come in a small package with an even smaller price tag. So download the app. If you're a good driver, you could save up to 52% on your car insurance. And that leaves you extra money to buy something you really want. Not available in all states. Savings based on national reviews reported by actual customers. Form 1. We reserve the right to refuse to quote any individual or premium rate for the insurance advertised herein. Download the Root app today. That's R-O-O-T.
The unemployment rate is lower than it's been in decades. That means if you're trying to hire a new employee, they probably already have a job, which means you need to try reaching them in a different way. That's where iHeartMedia comes in. Every week, our radio stations reach 93% of the U.S., most likely when they're on their commute or already at work. So start connecting with the qualified candidates you've been looking for on AM/FM radio. Visit iHeartWorks.com. That's iHeartWorks.com.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History, with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We have Anna and Stefan on hold. There's a line open, 544-5876, doing trivia in just a second here. Need to tell you, it's coming in next week on February the 1th. Is that a thing to say, the 1th? I can't say that. Anyway, February the 1st, Hour 1, Museum, actually both hours, Museum of Archaeology Director Jeff Romney is our guest. He'll be here both hours talking about his museum. In the second hour, he's going to bring in a guy who's doing an exhibit at the museum named Wayne Suggs. Now, with a name like that, you have to be good. So he is. And he's a photographer. He'll come in from 11 to 12. He's got a photo exhibit opening at the museum mid-February. And he photographs petroglyphs and other archaeological sites in our region. And that's a form of preservation all by itself. So that's what he's up to. February the 8th, celebration of our mountains and celebrate our history. Plans are in cooking now. Our guest will be Jim Talbert. He's going to bring some folks in, talk about the outdoors and the indoors and celebrating them. Bob Peterson lived in El Paso for 50 years. He's originally from Maine, and he's bringing lobsters. No, he's not.
Oh, right.
But he's adopted El Paso after 50 years. He's on all kinds of boards. I got to think, let's see what he has to say about our history. So February 22nd, Carl Lombaugh in from Las Cruces. He's going to talk about the fountain murders and what to expect at the Pat Garrett Symposium. Pat Garrett was killed on Leap Day, the 29th. It happens to be a leap year here, so they're going to kill him all over again and with a book, all that. And that's the 29th of February in Las Cruces. So anyway, what else? You got something over
well,
there.
Well, I got the Sunset Film Society and International Museum of Art. And tomorrow, or today, excuse me, they've got the movies, which are free, where you can get and you can get popcorn, beverages, candy, and snacks to watch your movie. And it's called Play Misty for Me, which is one of my favorite films by Clint Eastwood. And then tomorrow, and we're going to go to this, tomorrow at January 26th at 2 p.m., which and this event's free too, the Iva Turney Society for Arts and Adventure presents Dueling Pianos, featuring Ruben Gutierrez and Billy Towns. And this is a free event, and I'm really looking forward to this. You can go to their website for more information, the International Museum of Art.net at .com.
Just put the phone number out
.com. Yeah, call them at 543-6747, and you can get more information. But that dueling piano thing is
that's a big
a
deal
fun.
Now. Do you know who the Iva Turney was?
Oh, yeah. The owner
that was her house.
That was her house.
That was her casa.
Sure,
okay, are you ready for a trivia?
Yes, I am.
And should we let these guys sitting over here in the gallery be judges?
Oh, yeah,
John
they
and
can
Bernie.
Be the judges.
Okay, where do you want to go here? Should we go with Anna?
Let's go with Anna.
Anna, you're on the radio with Melissa.
Yes, good afternoon. Good morning, still.
Wherever we are, right?
Yeah, what are you drinking? We want some of what you've got.
She's having Bloody Marys with
all
me.
Right,
so
there you go.
Okay, what was the name of El Paso? Two newspapers started in the same year in 1881. What was the first one to start?
Oh, I knew the other one, the other question.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll go to that one.
The Missing Pattersons.
Oh, well, there you go.
You've answered that question.
Okay, she wins.
Yeah, well, you know, I lived on Stanton Street between Galloway and Winter, and I remember when all that happened. They've never been found, have they?
No, they have not.
Are they buried in your old
That's
yard?
That's why they're called missing.
Nah,
they're still missing. You know, if we find them, we're going to call them the Found Pattersons.
Gosh, that's
I hope
right.
They find
the missing
them.
Pattersons will no longer be missing. That's
well,
right.
I think I told you once upon a time, I took a psychic over there. She told me exactly where they were, what happened to them. And whether you believe it or not, you know, we'd have to dig up a house, so we're not doing that.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah. I remember on Piedmont Street.
Yes, indeed. So, okay, moving on to give her a prize of some
so
kind.
So now you have a choice of a $20 gift coupon to Pepe's or the $20 to
Amigos.
Oh, excuse me. Amigos. Or a $20 gift
Amigos?
To Amigos. Yes.
Amigos.
Amigos. Yes, I think we got that one set. You want the Amigos?
Yes, the Amigos is final. I get to see the Amigo, the missing Amigo.
But you don't.
Well, no, he's there.
She could have gotten the ones to the Mission Del Rey Southwest also. We had
That's
to
still possible.
That
we have other callers. However, you can go down there and see the original Amigo man standing there looking at you without his costume.
Oh, I know.
It's
I know.
Him.
We've
you know
seen him many
without
times
costume,
before. Hooky.
Hooky Apodaca. You know, the other thing to call him is Captain Hooky.
Captain Hooky. Okay.
Watch out for crocodiles. You know, you never can tell about that guy. All right, got yourself a coupon. And Cindy will come on and tell you how to pick that up, all right?
Thank you.
Thanks
have
for playing.
A good day.
Same to you. You hold on there. Okay, what are we going to do now? We got more people to play with here. This is Stefan is on the radio. Hey, Stefan, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Stefan. Okay, the question was, we had two newspapers that started in 1881, and I messed that question up. I apologize. You have a choice of those two newspapers. Was it the El Paso Times first, or was it the El Paso Herald first?
I think it was El Paso Herald.
Bingo, no! Thank you for trying, Andrew. Appreciate it. It didn't work out for you.
You missed it by one newspaper.
Now we're going to go to Ed. Ed, did you hear that question? You can win real quick if you answer it.
Yes, El Paso Times.
Hey, it must be the El Paso Times. How did you know that? By a process of elimination. Don't go any deeper into that subject. So how are you today, Ed?
I'm all right.
You got yourself a coupon to Mission Del Rey. How's that sound?
Okay, that's good.
Do you know where that place is?
Excuse me?
Do you know where it is?
It's on Litorino.
Yes. What you got to do, you go out to I-10, go north on Litorino, take a left on Pelicano, and then go on Pelicano a little ways and take another left into this big warehouse place. The actual physical address is down about a block, and it's hard to get to, so dump all that and get in on Pelicano. How's that sound?
Okay.
Hold on. Cindy will tell you how to pick it up, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for playing. Hold on there. And Cindy Malazzo, thank you for being in your call screening. And once again, our main man on the electrons, he's being challenged today. Sergio Valenzuela.
Yes, it is very challenging.
It's a challenging thing going on in there. All right, enough of that. We should come back and do something else. The newspaper guys are sitting here.
Anxiously waiting.
And they're dying to go nail something to a tree. Aren't you?
Got to find the tree.
Yeah. Well, nowadays you'd have to bring your own.
No, that's what we haven't talked about Cleveland Square. You know, there's in there a tree at Cleveland Square.
Yeah, but those are living trees. Probably don't want to go nail it into that. See, remember that one that was down there in Pioneer Plaza in the 60s? And it was a stick they got out of town somewhere and stuck it in a hole. That wasn't the original newspaper. It couldn't have been. But they said it was. So I believed it as a little kid. Oh, enough of that. Taking a break here, coming back. And we'll next we're going to do Paso Inc. You ready for that next
That's
time?
That's right. Yes,
but taking a break first, call us if you need to.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
If you're struggling with over $10,000 in credit card debt, listen up. The following information could save you a lot of money. The credit card companies don't want you to know this, but if you can't afford to pay off all your credit card debt, I've got news for you. You may not have to. Call 1-800-900-0140. I'm not talking about bankruptcy. I'm not talking about debt consolidation. I'm talking about Credit Associates, experts at negotiating down credit card debt to a lot less than you owe. To find out how much of your debt could be forgiven, call 1-800-900-0140. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible, without bankruptcy or debt consolidation. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk to call. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-0140. 1-800-900-0140.
Hey, it's a new year, the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter makes that easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job posting to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes every one of them and spotlights the top candidates so that you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address, ziprecruiter.com/rush. That's ziprecruiter.com/rush. ZipRecruiter.com/rush. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that advanced your career skills and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? Find out more. Text RESULT to 79645. Start on the path to earning your MBA or Business Analytics Master's degree online from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the graduate programs from the top-ranked W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University, offered 100% online. Text RESULT to 79645. That's RESULT to 79645.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, by Monterey Asset Management, by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
This week only in El Paso, Inc.
We're having a radio show over here. Neighbors of the closed
Yeah, we can hear you.
Neighbors of the close Vista Hills Country Club are trying to find creative uses for the 169-acre golf course referred to as the lungs of the east side.
I never heard it called that.
Yes,
anyway,
I have.
Also in the ink, why a company in Anthony, New Mexico wants your nasty old food scraps?
Okay.
It's in the ink.
They're
going to
make fuel. The UTEP Dinner Theater is turning back the clock to bell bottoms and platform shoes with its latest production of Saturday Night Fever.
That's all in the ink. El Paso Ink is available for home and business delivery.
To order your copy of the El Paso Ink, go online to elpasoink.com.
Sunday night on ABC 7 Extra, the August 3rd shooting is having an influence on the way school districts view security in the schools. Although that tragedy happened inside the Sierra Vista Walmart, the tragedy immediately raised concerns about security in area school districts. So Sunday night, ABC 7 Extra takes a look at the El Paso school districts to see what they are doing to improve their security measures and the way they respond to incidents following the August 3rd shooting. One of those is Stop the Bleed.
Find out more Sunday night on ABC 7 Extra with host Saul Science. His guests include the heads of security at three school districts. ABC 7 Extra airs Sunday evenings after ABC 7 at 10.
We do our thing. They do their thing. They had us on TV this morning. It was wonderful.
Yay, we love them.
Okay, now we're back here with the reality of newspapers. And I don't know if we've really covered this. I mean, you can't look at what we're doing here as a detailed ticket test, but more like an overview summary. Did you hear it? So yeah. What else is there to hear, guys?
Well, we talk about the progression of the newspapers and how they went from, like John was saying, 10 newspapers or more. Yeah.
Bernie Sargent here.
Yeah, down to two or three or four. And, why did it go in that direction? I think a lot had to do with the fact that they were able to get equipment in here that could produce and reproduce the newspapers on a much more rapid basis once the railroads came in. And they got very efficient at it, and it became really a battle between two newspapers there.
Yes, and Bernie brought up the picture of the newspaper tree, and I'm sure glad he did because you had me believing it had no leaves. Well, their picture has got leaves.
In 1962, it was a stick.
It was a stick, yeah.
I
have pictures of that, too.
The original, was a real dad gum tree.
I've got an 1881 picture here.
That's John Mitta I'm arguing with right here.
Yeah. Right. Uh-huh. Okay.
But I remember it was a stick. It was a big stick.
Yeah, yes,
but it was a stick. It was dead.
Did you carry it? That's
no, it was dead. It was in a pipe, and just a representation is all it was.
Bernie, can you find that picture?
I'll find that picture.
we'll go create that picture.
Yes.
What?
We've just been talking about El Paso and newspapers and that there were a good number of newspapers before the El Paso Times and the Herald. So it's been a good morning.
When did the Herald fold?
Oh, golly. Not, 70?
Oh, wait, the Herald Post?
Or the Herald
Post?
Post.
Yeah. 1997.
October 1997.
I knew there was a 7 in there.
But it still exists online now.
That's back.
But you can get it online, and it's a great paper.
It's a different organization, and Chris Babcock runs it.
Yeah, we had him on talking about it. It's real interesting. It's a good little paper.
Well, he saw an idea to grab it and run with it, so he did, and good for him.
You mentioned online.
Yes.
How in the old days you used to appreciate the morning and the evening paper, and how I'm appreciating the El Paso Ink being delivered to my driveway.
Yes.
They say Sunday mornings, but
Friday, Saturday night.
Okay. I thought I was going to bring some news.
You're privileged, like I am.
Okay, but then also the speaking about newspapers going online. The guy who owns dadgummit, let me see. Bought the newspaper, the Washington Post. Who bought the Washington Post?
Oh, Amazon, Bezos.
Right,
Bezos.
Right. And so now everybody's been wondering, and I haven't been keeping up with it, but his viewpoint, his slant on the news, and how he's going to portray it in his newspaper.
What's your question? Is he slanting it?
Oh, well,
I would say,
wait.
Ask the United States president. He'll tell you. But see, that's why we don't talk about that stuff.
No.
It's nothing but fighting. So, I mean, we can go back and argue, but it's not fighting about old stuff.
I think he's like a lot of – I think you've always had political leanings in newspapers. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me there has ever been one newspaper or another that's ever really been totally
– Neutral?
Neutral,
yeah,
exactly.
They don't exist.
Yeah, it's the nature of humans, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't bring it up for that reason. I brought it up because online from print is where I was going.
Too. That works, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's we see more and more newspapers folding because of things like within 1987, the Herald Post had gone down to 18,000 people on their distribution list.
Oh, 1997.
Yeah, 97. And when they did that, I mean, it seems to be the sign of the times, no pun intended.
But the advertisers just don't want to pay for that.
No.
Yeah. They don't want to pay to get exposure in a non.
Well, and advertising gets so expensive because the production of a newspaper is so expensive.
Yeah.
And so it's much easier for them to do an electronic version.
I'll tell you where they really get you. Go try to put an obit in the El Paso Times. And you're grieving and you're remorsing. And
yeah, people are dying to do
it. And they want $900 or $1,000 for a little thing.
That's where they make the money.
Oh, I got to do it for Dad or whatever. And people pay that.
Yeah.
Hey, leave it to Bernie. He brought up the picture of the stick. Can't put nothing over on you guys.
That is a stick.
Yes, yes.
Now, that might have been a tree there at one point, you think?
Well, they've got a historical marker. Supposedly, that's the exact location of where that tree was. They say that's part of the tree, but it's a pretty old tree.
Why don't we go plant another one? Wouldn't that be interesting?
Well, they've got the Pioneer Plaza now. Maybe we could suggest doing that.
Let's go put a
they've
Pioneer.
Got trees there.
I would suggest you put up an artificial one or something because I think people would start doing things to it if you put a real one up. I mean, if they tried to do it. But if you put an artificial one up that had replications of what newspapers might have been or what postings might have been up there, that would be kind of interesting.
It's a moment you could take and push some El Paso history real easily if you did something clever like that.
Yeah.
On some level. I mean, there's so many things that would lend itself to exposing our history. There's another one. Mm-hmm. You can put up a newspaper tree and call it attention to it and say, hey, cool. Mm-hmm. You know, and some interesting things. Almost every corner in downtown El Paso, you could put up a plaque for something.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Stuff went on down here like crazy, and they don't even do any of that. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So, okay, back to newspapers, though. What reality do we have on further things you got there?
Well, are we finished talking about cutting and all the?
I think we
can cut to a new subject.
Well,
how about a new name, George Curry?
Oh, who's that?
Wow, there's a book out that about he came to this area years ago, 1859. Don't hold me to the date, and worked his way from just being a young man working in the fur trade. At the end of the fur trade and running stores all the way to being governor of New Mexico.
Oh.
But he had a lot of involvement in Las Cruces and El Paso.
Oh, really?
George Curry. And a lot of his involvement is, I know you guys know too much about John Wesley Hardin.
I heard of him.
Yes. And
he's actually right behind you up on the wall.
Uh-oh, has he got his gun out?
He's got a gun, but it's
not
out.
Yeah, he's just leaning over.
Okay.
But he's got a gun. Yes. Look out.
Teach me to put my back to the door, right?
I found out about that.
Yeah. George Curry, and then something that I've been struggling with is in his autobiography, he brought up John Wesley Hardin and an incident downtown where a New Mexico deputy U.S. Marshal walked into the Wigwam Saloon. And Hardin accosted him and wanted to fight, seeing that he didn't have a pistol. So Perry excused himself, went outside, went back to his hotel and got his gun. And on his way out, he ran into A.B. Fall and this George Curry and asked them to go back to the wigwam and be his backup. And so they walked in, and Perry walked up to Hardin and said, no, I wasn't trying to pick a fight. No, I wasn't trying to pick a fight. So Hardin asked Fall to end it. And Fall got his gun and Perry's gun, and it was over.
Oh.
And Fall told Hardin, just buy the house a bunch of drinks. But, buy the drinks, not a bunch of drinks. The quote was, the drinks. And so there's just so many names, and you guys have filled a page for me to go and check.
Oh, there's all kinds of people out there.
Check on names.
Well, the history of El Paso is amazing. The newspaper business was always part of it, mm-hmm. And that's the question, how did we get here? That was my original question.
Yeah, I think one of the things I want to do going forward in my spare time is to research some of the early editors and publishers of these newspapers, where they came from, what they were all about, where they ended up. And what other impacts did they have on the community?
And what kind of place was El Paso back then? Was that a destination place, or was it a place so you could go hide?
Yeah.
You know, because I think a lot of people were doing that.
There was a lot of both.
Yes, both ways.
John Wesley Harden came here, and I don't think for the great opportunity so much as to get out of the rest of Texas.
Well, that, and he was also, he was enticed to come here because there's, quote unquote, lots of trials going on.
Yeah.
And so he was just a new lawyer. He needed the money.
Yeah. Interesting
and
stuff.
Freshly out of jail. You'll
and that's where he learned how to be a lawyer. He learned it in jail.
But, yeah. Yes, but remember that, that El Paso is the pass to the north. And so, and then we talked a little bit about railroads, but at least Bernie and I have been
and became East West Pass.
Right.
It sure did.
Right.
Now, El Paso has been a crossroads forever.
Speaking of the railroads,
yes,
very
indeed.
Quickly, I might mention that the Museum of History now has an exhibit all about the history of the railroad in El Paso. That's a very interesting.
It's open this week, right?
It's open last Thursday. So, yeah, definitely go down there. It's free to get in and free to walk through it, and you can learn a little bit about our railroad history.
And they say they have a displaying local history artifacts, an electric train model down there, a Children's Depot play area, mm-hmm. a flip book of album highlights, historic photographs, free and open to the public. And that's down near, 510 Santa Fe.
Yes.
That's how you get there, 510 Santa Fe.
Santa Fe. Okay. Santa Fe all the way.
And, and have somebody drop you off. So, all right. We shall be back in a moment. Shall we just do that?
We shall do
Oh, Sergio, just hit the button.
Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Great Mexican food, steaks, chicken, and salads with draft beer and margaritas by the pitcher at Amigos Full Bar. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry, we're cooking at Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that advanced your career skills and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? Find out more. Text PROUD to 79645. Start on the path to earning your MBA or Business Analytics Master's degree online from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the graduate programs from the top-ranked W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University offered 100% online. Text PROUD to 79645. That's PROUD to 79645.
Every cup of Circle K coffee is ground in the moment. So, whether you're craving coffee now or now, you'll get the freshest cup in the world at Circle K. Every cup ground fresh, starting at a dollar at Circle K. Limited time only at participating locations.
Hey, Greg, I'm so sorry to hear about your brother's heart attack.
Thanks. He's okay now, but it really got me thinking about my family. You know, could my wife still pay our mortgage if I had a heart problem? Or could my kids still go to college?
Man, that is really scary. Yeah, you should call my life insurance agent at Health IQ. When I got life insurance for my family last year, they saved me 41% versus any other company I looked at.
41%? That's huge.
Yep. Health IQ starts by shopping everyone with the top 30 life insurance carriers to make sure they can get the lowest retail rate. Then they apply their exclusive healthy lifestyle savings, which can save you up to 41%. I literally got $1 million in coverage for my family for just $36 a month.
Just $36 a month?
Yep. You should check it out at healthiq.com/easy.
To save that much money, I'm going to call them right now. What's that link again? healthiq.com/easy?
Yep. HealthIQ.com/easy.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Yeah, we're talking history in here during the breaks as well. John Middaugh is here. Bernie Sargent's here. And John Middaugh, you are an author nowadays, and your work appears in the El Paso Scene on a regular
basis. Correct, yes.
On a monthly basis.
Right, once a month. I've got a column running there. And Randy Lindberg has been very, very good. It's supposed to have been originally on the history of El Paso, which there is, like you mentioned earlier, so much. But he's let me delve into family history because I owned a saddle shop for 25, 30 years. And and so much of my story, my background is related to that, which I would take these people horseback riding and relate the stories. Ah. And so it's been real good, real good. And yes, I've written two books, but most acclaimed for the I've been with Randy 5.5 years. I can't believe.
That's a while. Yeah.
That's a long time.
And
yeah.
Also, your dad was a reporter at the...
My dad came to El Paso. He was born in Louisiana, Illinois, but came down to Odessa and then Texas A&M and El Paso in 1939 to work for the Herald. And then he met my mother, like I mentioned earlier, at the immigration building and walked in to cover a story, and she was sitting in a white dress, and she got up that morning and put that dress on, and she said, "Oh, this is awful plain." So she cut out a red flower and pinned, and to the day she passed on, she claimed it was that red flower that caught my father's attention. And mother and dad were married in 1942, and then the family came along after.
But John Middaugh is a name a lot of people know. At the college.
At the university. Dad came there, started there in 1948. They hired him away from the Herald. And he did start there with just a bachelor's degree, and that wasn't going to cut it. So he went on and got a master's there at UTEP and became head of the department until he passed in 1973.
Well, it's interesting. Your family is intertwined with the history of newspapers.
Oh, yes.
In El Paso.
Very much. Well, and then this book that I've been referring to, Frontier Newspaper, the family story there is Dorrance Roderick gave my father $3,000 to write that book that took him 10 years. But that $3,000 paid for my sister. So you see how things work.
Ah, yes.
But,
your sister's worth a book.
Yes, but the book was the end result of my father's...
His sister's name is Paige.
Page. Sorry. Thank you very much. We're going to turn that chapter over to you now. No, we have to get out of here. But John Middaugh, thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And you might make it to Pepe's. We'll talk further if you do.
Okay, I'll ask.
Bernie, Melissa, you're going to make it out there?
Yes, we are.
All right. And Cindy, you're not going to make it? No, Cindy, not going to make it. Sergio.
Sergio's
always anchored here. God bless you. Anyway, we're going to take off.
Let him out.
We're going to take off and go up to Pepe's here. That'd be a good thing to do. And the special again is...
Thank you.
The crew is the special. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right, everybody else, see you next week. You're coming back next week.
I'm coming back next
week. Oh, yeah, ephistory.com.
I'm only allowed out of town once a year, I think.
Details of the history show. See you next week. Thanks for joining
twice.
Us. Y'all take her easy.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, ephistory.com. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week with great Mexican food. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.
Message and data rates may apply.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions.
Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits to transfer? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 200 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus from wherever you are on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, text ASU to 35517. Learn for yourself why ASU is ranked number one for innovation by U.S. News and World Report. And learn to thrive with Arizona State University. For more information about ASU Online, text ASU to 35517. That's ASU to 35517.
NBC News Radio, I'm Cameron Fairchild. White House counsel Pat Cipollone insists